For those of you who were here last week in the morning, we talked about continuing in Christ. We talked about continuing in Christ. That is chapter 2 of Colossians 2, verse 6, which says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." That was the message we had last week, to continue to live in Christ. Now, how is continuing in the Lord Jesus Christ looks like? This is the text, this is the subject of chapter 3. And I'm going to share from that. So, Apostle Paul, pressing on, having laid down the theological truth about our faith, about us, who we are, a people chosen. As we read in chapter 1, he said to them, "To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Our people who have faith in Christ Jesus. These are faithful people, born of God, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he prayed for them that they continue to be filled with the knowledge of God. Well, this Paul, who is speaking to these people, writing to them from jail, against the false teachers who were trying to trick the people of God and to rob them of the true faith, the faith that shines, the faith that enables people to glorify God, the faith that is truly of Christ, the faith of the gospel. The faith that is not really mere human knowledge or understanding or even philosophy. A faith that is rooted in the Word of God. All that is pure from God alone and not from human tradition. And Paul, that is why he was urging the Christians to continue in Christ. And he is urging us today. But how do we go about living out our faith? Then, well, this is what he says. Being a Christian means living a new way of life. So it's completely different. And he mentioned the fact that you were not like this before. You were not like that. You used to walk in these ways, in the ways of the flesh, in the sinful ways. So the Christian person is a person who has been saved and brought to live a new life. So to live a life so different to the one you once lived and different to the life of non-Christians around you. That is how different we are. So let us see together how Apostle Paul tells us. Firstly, he calls us to adopt a mindset that reflects our new distinctiveness, our new identity in Christ. This is verse 1 to 4. He says them, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above." You set your heart on things above. Well, we are not told what are these things that are above, isn't it? But we are told of the things that are on the earth. So the contrast here teaches us that the things that are above are not like the things that are real on earth here. So what are the things that are on earth? So if we read verse 5 as a way of shedding light to what I've just said, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived." So the life that you live now is so different. And so those people who live this way, they have their hearts on the things that are on this earth. You know, this language is like a Pauline language, isn't it? Johannine, I should have said. Johannine. So John talks about heavens and earth, above and below. Jesus in chapter 3, talking to Nicodemus, he said, "I am from above and you are from below." And the person who is below cannot really cannot glorify God with his own understanding, earthly understanding. His mind is just set on the things of this earth. But because a Christian is a person who has been born of God, a Christian is a person who has been raised with Christ, a person who has died You see? And that is what he's saying. He said, like, you set your mind on the things above, where Christ is seated. Christ is seated. The things that are above. Because that is what he said. Because for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. So a life that you live here, that is hidden in Christ to be revealed. And that you are not to stop on the way. Because this life, this new life you are to live here, is not finished. And I was tempted to say that our redemption, we think that is finished, is not finished. We have been redeemed once and for all, but more to come. More to come, because we are saved, but we are accountable to this life is given to us. Because this life, Christ will require it. When he returns, because this is what it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so if you want to get the full rewards, the full salvation, you need to have this mindset that you have been raised with Christ to the newness of life and to live a life that is not based on the things of this world, so that when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed and you will not be ashamed. That is why he says this. Heavenly thinking. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated. You see, where Christ is seated, it didn't say like set your mind on the things above, just only. No. It said where Christ is seated. And the Bible says Christ is seated on the right-hand side of the power. Also, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, that Christ, that was the sermon of Peter, that Christ has been exalted. So he has been given authority to rule from heavens, to rule our lives even as his people. So when you set your mind on the things above, that means that you don't have to worry about the things of this earth, because he rules, he cares. Also, Christ is the high priest, we are told. The high priest, that means he is praying for you. He's interceding. We read that in Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 25 all the way to chapter 8, telling us about Christ being seated in heavenly places, our most high priest, so that we have to set our minds on the things that he cares for, the things that matters the most, the thing that perfects our salvation, the things that make us truly his followers. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, our most high priest. If you come to Christ, who is seated on the right hand of the power, he is able. He is seated in the place of authority. And Paul is urging us this morning, through the Holy Spirit, that we have to do this. And the reason, the grounding is because we have been saved, because we have been raised with Christ. Well, why this is so important, why it is very important, why it's so helpful for a body like us, why it is so important? Because if we are not setting our minds on the things that are above, we cannot enjoy all the blessings that God desires for us as a body. Just simple as that. We cannot. And he will challenge us as we go further. He will challenge us that we should not lie to one another. You see? Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Why? Because lying to one another in a fellowship, that will ruin the faith, that will hinder the our witness, that will not speak of Christ himself. That is why he says, if you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciples, isn't it? So if we lie to one another, just imagine if you lie to someone. Actually, you can kill them. If you lie to them that there was no danger on the road, you see, and you know that is fatal, you have killed them. And that is why lying to one another, that is opposite to the character of God. That is opposite to the character of Christ himself. That is why they were told not to lie to one another. Well, in verse 5, there is this language of putting clothes, putting off and putting on. But actually, I'm not going to dwell on putting to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Because we may all say, well, I have put off sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, and greed. I'm not greedy, which is adultery. Because the wrath of God comes upon such people like this. But if you stop there and you don't come to verse 12, to clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, that is lukewarmness, isn't it? It's lukewarmness. And that is the problem. We think we can avoid doing bad things, isn't it, as Christians? That is fine. But how about having the good things? The way I structure this talk this morning is to give you the fact that the first part, 1 to 4, that we have that mindset. To set our minds and our hearts on the things that are above. And also, putting off from 5 to 11, the things of the world, the things of the that belong to the all nature. And then the other part, the third part, is to put on. And the emphasis I want to emphasize on you today is to put on, is to clothe yourself with compassion, with these virtues, Christian virtues. Because putting off or putting to death the thing that belonged to the sinful nature, the Bible tells us that actually God himself has done this for us. That is what our death with Christ has done for us. So when we died with Christ, when we believe in him, the sinful nature is subject to death as a result of the declaration of God that we are made new. We are a new creation with a new creation that has kicked in. We have the capacity to put off this, but we don't have the rephrase it. We have the capacity by the nature of the new creation that we have received from God that we can put off these evil desires. Because the Bible says here, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off. You have taken off already. You have taken off. It's taken off. Okay? But now, all that we need to do, we need to put on. We need to clothe ourselves as a holy people chosen by God, and because God has chosen us, and because we are loved by God, we are to clothe ourselves. We are to put on this clothes. The clothes, they tell us who we are. They change our character. They change the way we look, isn't it? The clothes, they help us look different, isn't it? Also, they give us warmth. They give us they protect us from heat. Also, they help us to keep warm. Also, we wear clothes that are suitable for the weather. And now we are called to put on these virtues that are suitable for the people who have been saved. Paul is urging us that if we are a group of people, if we are a body of Christ that does not clothe himself with these virtues, and then we run the risk of the fact that we have not put our hearts on the things that are above. And these things actually, they can ruin a fellowship. They can ruin a body of Christ. They can disadvantage us so much. And that is why Paul is saying we are to clothe ourselves with this. And the reason is because we have been loved by God and we are chosen by Him. And what are these? I don't want to go in details of these virtues. These virtues, he said, with compassion. Compassion. Compassion is to be merciful with those who are maybe weak, maybe people who are not making it like us. People who may not be clever, we have to have compassion. People who may not be godly as we might be. But as a body of Christ, because Paul says, no difference. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, circumcision, slaves or free, but Christ is all and is in all. He's saying, so here we don't have Greeks and barbarians, but we do have people from different backgrounds. We do have people from different walks of life, people from different educational levels. You see, different ages, different ethnics. So Paul is saying, here we have been called to have to put on Christ. To put on Christ, and that is why we are to be clothed with the compassion that is of Christ. And so here the person we put on is Christ himself, because Christ is all and is in all. So Paul is calling us this morning to do this and to be compassionate, to be kind. And kindness is to receive something that you don't deserve. Someone who deserves nothing, people are to be kind to. So because we don't deserve anything from God, and God is kind, He has been kind to us, so we are to also clothe ourselves with kindness. And so opposite to that would be cruelty. A person who has set his heart on the things above, and so he set his mind on Christ alone, and he is to display these virtues, Christian virtues, without which a person is not a Christian, has not completely come to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ we have heard of in the last sermon. So Paul is urging us, like, to be kind. And to be kind is just a virtue that is so wonderful. It speaks of our Savior, who is himself so kind. Did he say that I am kind? Did he say that I am gentle? And this comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that is why you have to have this mindset. You don't have to be cruel. You don't have to be bossy. You don't have to be be triumphant, to lord it over people. You don't have to look spectacular in such a way that other people cannot approach you. So this is not kindness, and this is not Christianity, and this is a total failure. And Christ is warning us even this morning that there shouldn't be among his people a person who will not be kind to others, who will not display this virtue, a person who will not die to himself, and who will have no regard for others. A person who is like this, who is not clothed with this, is just only clothed with nice clothes from Shadiston and Westfield and places like that. No, Christ wants us to have this. And you know, these things are furnishes in the heart, are not just furnishes from outside. These are qualities that comes as a person set his mind on Christ himself, who is above. What is above? Christ's heart is for us to be holy. His heart is for us to be saved. That's why he intercedes for us. He is able to save those who approach him. Here, compassion and kindness. Kindness is very important. The virtue that is we need greatly. Yesterday, I was at this traditional wedding. I went with my family because this girl is so related to my mom, and my mom is so dear to me, and they are cousin with the mom of this girl, and my young children, and my family, they all came, my cousins, and also my nieces, and all of them, I think they were like over 20-something, and they were together. But what I was seeing, and my brother's sons, they came, I was lined up with dignitaries because I was an uncle. And my sons, his two sons, came. And as they were passing people, they stopped. They were just like this. I haven't seen them for 4 years. And they stopped. They just greeted me over the table. My heart just went for them. I was just so kind to them. So this is what looks like. Our hearts move. Humility. Humility. If you were here on Sunday night, you would have been blown away with the message that God gave us about humility. Humility from 1 Samuel. Humility. How do we explain humility? Humility is, it's not something we see a lot. We see false humility because the true humility comes with power and come with grace, come with salvation. Jesus himself, he said he's humble, isn't it? He humbled himself to defeat the Satan, isn't it? He humbled himself, Philippians chapter 2. So that is why Paul says, if to have Christ fully on you, to have Christ fully, you have to not miss this virtue, this humility. Because with this, you defeat Satan with humility. Devil is defeated only with humility. Pride is defeated with humility. If this virtue is lacking, you are in trouble. If it's missing in a congregation, that congregation is in trouble. If someone, you want to come and tell people what they should do because you are not humble, you think you know it all, disdain, and then you are, it's not of God. Gentleness is not weakness, isn't it? Gentleness is not weakness. What do you want to see? I know this is getting a little bit really difficult. Gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness. It's not weakness. When someone is gentle, what does that mean? When someone is gentle, what does that mean? Well, a gentle person can tell you things without really threatening you, isn't it? He can make a point without really harming you. This is a gentle person. And Jesus himself, he was gentle himself. He faces all situations with calmness and with gentleness. And you see these virtues, some of them they are paid. Gentleness and patience. Impatient person cannot be gentle, isn't it? It's not possible. And Paul is stopping here, and I'm getting out of Colossians. I preach enough from it. But if we finish from Colossians and we don't cry out to Christ, even as I speak, to clothe us, because as we clothe ourselves, he is with us, helping us, clothing ourselves, because it's a desire from us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and this truth, and wanting to be compassionate and to be kind and to be humble and to be gentle and patient. And they come with the power of the Holy Spirit. They come as your mindset is changed, as you set yourself, your heart, as a person who has been raised from your sinful nature, as someone who has been completely changed, and this is the union with Christ. Union with Christ. Well, union with Christ means that we experience the things that he has called us to experience in him. That is why Christ is all and in all. A person who is in Christ and Christ in him is a person who is at the process of clothing himself all the time with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and humility and patience. Things without which a fellowship is so dead and cannot sustain in a society that is so sinful, that is practicing sexual immorality and greed and idolatry and worshiping idols. People walking like this. If you don't clothe yourself with these things, you are lukewarm. Your testimony can never be strong and powerful. No wonder why there are no salvations today. Just pass someone who has experienced cruelty and just try to be kind. They will take note of that. that there's something different here. And that is why many people have come to salvation, because many Christians have shown kindness and gentleness, and they have shown humility. When they should have promoted themselves, they have promoted others, because they know that Christ is seated in the place of authority, and also is awaiting to come. And when he comes, he will bring everything together. And those who have loved him, they will, those who have kept themselves, those who have put on all these virtues, these people, they will be revealed in glory. And these people, when Christ appears, they will appear with him. And Christ will say, these are my true chosen ones, the one that I have dearly loved, and the one that have heed the cry of my heart and have given themselves to this. And so these virtues that we need to put on, if we don't put them on, we are lukewarm. And if we just all, we think we live nicely in our homes and we don't get engaged in gambling and other things, and we think that we are okay and we are Christian people, that's it, good, paying tithes, and that's it, we come to church, we sing. No. Something is missing. We are not on fire for Christ. We cannot make an impact. We cannot help each other. We cannot help each other. Where is kindness? Where is love? Where is these things? We need these things in a fellowship like this so that we truly reflect the character of Christ. I might not come back to these things, I promise, for next 6 years, if the Lord has spared my life. But today I want to press it upon your heart that this passage is the outworking of being in Christ. And these things, if you can't graduate, you see, from university without passing this, you cannot pass these passages. You cannot pass this chapter and you think that everything is all right. No, you need to fix it right now in the name of Jesus. And I exhort you right now to pray, to ask Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is pressing upon your heart anything, if you have shown any cruelty. You know, one of the things that people say things, and we hear things. Someone maybe came and said, put that down, people pay money for this or something like that. That is cruelty. That is not kindness. That is not gentleness. And then the things to keep the unity of a fellowship like this, we need to be mindful of this. We need to be mindful of the truth of God. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to search us and to rule and to rid us of these things that are the flesh that can divide people. Because those who would want to go with the Lord, they cannot tolerate. There will come a time when people will not tolerate things that are not of God. Lying to each other. We are called to put on these virtues. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. The Bible says it's not that people will not harm you, will not say bad things to you. But the struggle is to forgive as Christ forgave you. That is why there is a need here. He said, let the word of God dwell richly in you. That is why this verse needs to ring in our hearts day and night. Because we might be sinned against. Have been sinned against, or we might have been wronged or have wronged someone. You ask someone for forgiveness, because this is not a characteristic of someone who has put on Christ. We are Christian, isn't it? We are going to heaven. Have you heard that song? Isn't it? Marching to Zion. Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, where Christ is seated, isn't it? While many people will be shocked when they see the fact that they didn't honor Christ by putting on these virtues that truly represent Christ. And a person cannot pass this life as a Christian without knowing these wonderful jewels of the Christian virtues that are ordained for us as a result of our union with Christ and our death with him and our rejection of the ways of this world and our standing by grace in humility in the faces of hostility, of devil, of Satan, of the kingdom of darkness, powers of this world, principalities, is standing in the name of Jesus Christ and in his grace alone. And God is making us standing, isn't it? Is he helping us? Is he helping us standing? Or we are defeated already? Is he helping us? I believe he is helping us. That is why we are here this morning. That is why we want to press these things upon our hearts. We want to be different, to be distinctive. We are people of different identities. One example I give you, I think I must have said this. That is the downfall of all the preachers. They keep repeating their own things. You see, we were us. I was just writing this paper. What is your identity? I'm a Sudanese, a Southern Sudanese, an Egyptian, a Christian, an Australian, and then a Christian. And then they say, oh, what identity that stands out for you the most? Oh, Christian. You see, because it seemed to be like permanent, isn't it? And I said, well, all these identities, sometimes they don't sit harmoniously, isn't it? But one thing that needs to remain is this, that I am a Christian, isn't it? Well, the forgiveness is very important in a fellowship so that we are not divided. These virtues, forgive us, the Lord forgive you, not as I would want to forgive you, isn't it? That is a struggle. Do you struggle forgiving others? Well, let me give you these three. Let these things rule to help you, really. So let the peace of Christ rule to be umpire in your heart. This is what Paul says. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Paul is saying this. That peace is very important. That let the peace of Christ be the umpire, rule your heart, because to be thankful. So he is calling us to do this, and so we pray, may the peace of Christ come into my heart, and he rules. Let the word of Christ dwell richly. We heard this morning as I share this, so that you remember what Christ has said. So this word to dwell richly. We don't read our Bibles, don't we? We don't read our Bibles, especially in this country. We are very busy. We are very busy. But let us make it really. Let us, if we want to have these virtues to spring up in our hearts, let us read our Bible. And as we read our Bible, the peace of Christ will rule our hearts. As we read our Bibles, the word of Christ that dwells will remind us always of the victories that await us. Because it is sins as members of one body. So we need this peace to rule my minds and my heart so that I can live in peace with others. If I don't have peace within myself, I cannot live in peace with others. I need to share peace, isn't it? You need to spread wealth. They said that. The wealth of peace. Because an angry person really will cause trouble in a fellowship. And a heart that is not thankful of the grace of the people, of the humility of the people. You are not thankful of all that God has provided for us. And finally, Paul would say, whatever you do, if you are in doubt that you have not put on all these virtues. If you are in doubt, that is verse 17. If you are in doubt. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you are in doubt, when all fail, when you cannot find kindness, when you cannot find humility, when you cannot be patient, just have this one thing, that I surrender to Jesus. May all the small things I do it for his sake. I forgive just for his sake. I will just try to have peace for his sake. I will help someone else for his sake. I will deny myself my rights for his sake. I will allow to be, not to stand for myself, isn't it? For his sake. I will speak in certain way for his sake. For Christ. That is how you live out your Christian faith. What is the challenge for you this morning as we finish this small talk? What is the challenge for you today? Are you struggling with kindness? Are you struggling with humility? Are you struggling with compassion? Your heart doesn't move when someone is in pain and in trouble. Well, I think if there is anything that has been sucked off us in this country, is the compassion. You see, is the compassion. The compassion to have over those bodies are covered with tattoos and those are drug addicts, and those who are in prostitutions, there's no compassion for them. There are no prayer meetings for this one to come out. Our prayer meetings are just so dead. If you are in doubt, all that you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has done all these things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You don't have your life if you are a Christian. Your life is hidden in him. No matter what is happening with you here, Christ will reveal your life and he will reward you. He will give you the crowns that awaits those who have put their trust in him. How is your continuing in the Lord Jesus Christ looks like now? Have you put on some clothes, new clothes, a new set of clothes in your wardrobe? Yeah. When you go home today, make sure that these virtues are practiced. Let us pray.